WRHI Rock Hill, W261CY Rock Hill, Good Pharmacy, Rock Hill's hometown pharmacy for over 60 years, Camden Avenue at Ebenezer Road. Manning Kimmel. Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, we are surrounded today with brilliance and beauty, I might add. From the United Way of York County, Helen Zimmerman is with us. She's the Resource Development Director for the United Way. And Kristen Teffo is with us. She's a Collective Impact Associate. We'll find out what the heck that all means. And we're here really to talk about Stamp Out Hunger, but we're going to talk about something else that I think is very interesting in terms of a change. I'll call it a change in course that the United Way took, about 5 years ago? And we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's do some introductions. Helen, tell us about you.
Well, I'm Helen Zimmerman. I've been with the United Way of York County for about 2.5 years since we relocated here to the York County community. Prior to that, I was with the United Way in Indiana.
Oh, boy.
So it speaks my language and my love, and it felt like coming home. But really engaged and part of the team here and thrilled to see the good work being done with our space.
Good. All right, Kristen, that means it's your cue. Come on up here and tell us a little bit about you.
So I've been with the United Way as an intern since August of last year.
Okay.
Graduated in December with my BSW, so Bachelor's in Social Work, and then joined the team officially as an employee in January.
Uh-huh.
And then I will continue to stay on as I finish my Master's in Social Work that starts in about a week and a half at Winthrop.
Took a little break, but now we're back at it.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is Collective Impact Associate? What does that mean?
So Collective Impact, it's all of the different ways that we help impact the community. So we specifically focus on financial stability. And so there's financial literacy, workforce development, economic and family support. We are also kind of working a little bit on some disaster relief and recovery and community resilience. So it's just assessing all the different ways that you can impact the community as a whole.
Okay, so Helen, take me back. I mean, a number of years ago, the United Way kind of did a major shift in terms of how it does what it does. And it was, if I remember right, it was all about trying to get people to a sustainable income.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So it was community conversations that led us to identify our work here. We sat with leaders in the community, individuals we serve, some of the other agencies, and identified the population that was being underserved in the community. And it's really that working class that is doing amazing things to try to take care of their family, but not making enough to make ends meet. So we decided to focus on what we now call financial security and providing those that we work with the tools and resources that can help them move forward in that life and reach that space where they and their family are secure and can provide for themselves.
So it could be anybody who has a job, they're working.
That's
but,
right.
But they're just, you know, with
that's right.
Inflation and what have you, they just can't make it.
We call it ALICE, and that's Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. Because it is the individuals that are out there actually working. But as we all know, you know, jobs aren't always full-time. They don't come with benefits. They're sometimes minimum wage, and minimum wage in our state is $7.25. So if you're working 40 hours a week at $7.25, you're not going to make enough for your family to survive right now.
Yeah, in fact, I don't know whether you know Courtney Denton from the Lifehouse.
Absolutely.
But she always talks about the fact that it takes to live in Rock Hill, South Carolina today, it's about $27 an hour that you need to make.
It is. So we actually have the breakout. So if you are a family that is two adults, two children in childcare, average, and we know that our community is skewed a little by some pockets of wealth and then some rural communities, so it kind of balances. But the annual income for that family of four needed to survive, just a survival budget, is just over $83,000.
Survival budget.
Survival budget.
Which means,
and that is $41 an hour, basically. And that's combined between the two adults, so that's survival.
That would include your utilities, the cost for housing.
Correct.
Child care.
Transportation. Medical.
Yeah. Whew. All right, so to do what you're doing with the United Way, how do you identify people that would be good prospects for your program to help them move the next step up?
So that's where we work with our partners. We work with the other nonprofits in the community, have open conversations about the clients that are being served, take referrals from them, take referrals from, you know, corporate partners. It is really a system where anybody who can qualify and needs the help, we will work to make the connections and bring an associate with the right programs available.
So you probably have gotten a few referrals, let's say, from the Lifehouse?
Absolutely. Any of the partners, any of the other agencies.
The Haven?
We work with all of them. Okay. It is truly, if somebody needs that assistance, there is the space that they can work with a caseworker, either ours or one of the other agencies, as we all communicate, and that way make sure that we connect them to the right programs out there to get the need that they specifically need in their situation.
So you've been doing this, what, about 5 years?
About 5 years.
So you raise dollars throughout the course of the year for the United Way.
Correct.
And roughly what percentage of those dollars go into this program?
So we're just getting through our granting cycle now. So I don't have a dollar amount for you this year because we haven't done the totals yet. Right. But last year we put just about $400,000+ out to 11 different community organizations to fund programs that are doing work in the three categories of workforce development, financial literacy, and then economic and family support.
Right.
To really sustain the programs in our York County community that are available for these families.
So can you give me an example maybe of one or two of these organizations that you have funded in the past to help out with this?
So one of the funding programs was, I'll use Rock Hill Schools as an example.
Yeah.
We fund the Back the Pack program.
Okay.
But our funds don't go to the food, which is what everybody thinks. We help support the back end of that network because the kids that are involved in that program come out of it. They can be OSHA certified. They can get their forklift training. So they come out of that program and immediately have skills that make them hireable in the community.
Supply chain.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we will, that's one of our workforce development program grants that was distributed last year.
So you will identify that as a way that somebody could improve their skill set.
Correct. Give them immediate skills to make them hireable by individuals right here in our own community so they don't have to start at that entry level and get trained. They come in with those skills that they can go straight to work at a higher paying job.
So whoever the referral is that you're working with, you would say, look, here's a skill that you could learn over here, and it ain't going to cost you anything. Go over there and learn about this, because if you once you learn it, we can help you maybe get a job somewhere else, make more money.
Right. It depends on the situation and who it is, but we try to put the right people in the right space.
Can you give me another example?
Kristen, help me pick another.
Like York One School District.
York One School District is a great one. That's a partnership between York Schools, York Tech, and then their parenting partnership program.
Right.
So they do an adult education program that this past one was focused on Microsoft.
Phlebotomy this year.
So the adults could come in, learn the phlebotomy skill and techniques, It provided childcare for their children, and then immediately gave them a certification that they could then go increase their job space and their provide for their family at the same time.
That's interesting. So in the 5 years, I mean, have you been able to track success with any of this, how it's working?
So we actually work with Winthrop and some of the professors in their social work space, and they have helped identify some markers that we report on individually for our programs, but also the funded programs then report on quarterly so that we can track it. So the funding for it, we may have announced the shift about 5 years ago. We've been funding it for about a 3-year cycle. This will be our third year that we're putting in because of the announcement and COVID and just the process of it. So we do have it. You know, as we look at it, we can say 12% of those that participated in the program have decreased their debt. Doesn't seem like a lot, but when you know what these families come in with, that's a huge statement of success. 22% now have a savings account, so they're no longer that one emergency away from disaster. They've learned how to save and kind of prepare to save them the funds needed, so when their car doesn't work, they can fix it. Or when their child gets sick and they're going to miss a day's work, that doesn't set them back on their rent. So it's learning some of the skills that they put into use in real life.
So when it comes to financial literacy, are you working with a credit union so they do the training on that? How do you do that?
So some of the programs are done with our own financial stability network. We have a MoneyWorks program that we do, and everybody goes through it. Some of the financial literacy pieces that are funded are what Habitat does.
Okay.
We fund the financial literacy, or one of the partners in that, that works for their program, but also other individuals in their network. So there's many different ways that financial literacy gets affected and implemented.
So a couple of keys that I'm picking up from this. Number one, to be considered for this, you got to have a job. You got to be working, doing something, correct?
We like to work with that family because that's who's underserved. The unemployed and the homeless have a lot of programs.
Right.
But many of the clients that do come through our door they've been employed in the past and they're currently in that space of not currently having a job. So connections are still made.
But you're not giving, for instance, you're not writing a check to these people. You're funding the programs that will help these people.
Correct. That is correct.
All right. So they got to show initiative.
Exactly. It's not something that we can do for someone. They have to be in the space where they want to engage as well and participate.
So in the course of, how many people have you been helping over the years here?
So on our last report that we did, there were over 1,000 individuals that were being served in our financial literacy space and about 1,400 in the workforce development.
It's a lot of people.
It is a lot of people.
And I would imagine that in terms of tracking these individuals to make sure that they're still showing the interest, because if they're not, you could put somebody else in there. Do you do that as well?
Yes. We always make sure that the programs are full and served. We also know that sometimes a client won't make it all the way through the program because life happens.
Yeah.
And so we're prepared for that. The caseworkers and the clients, and it goes program by program and agency by agency to know when it's the right space to release the partner or release the individual, but try to do a follow-up and make sure they're in a safe space.
So I want you to tell me a success story. No names, just a success story about somebody who came in, needed the help, they got these programs that you all fund, and now they said bye-bye to you because they're okay.
So I will use one of our single moms. She came in. She was an assistant in a kindergarten classroom and was ready to go back to school so she could get her K-12 license. Had childcare set up with a family member. Her son was then identified as an autistic child, and the family member got some illness and was unable to care, and so life happened, and she thought she was going to have to drop out of the program. But she was connected with us, and we have a child care initiative program. and she qualified for it. So we were able to find a program with our partners that provided a safe space for her son. And so her son was taken care of. She could go back to school to get her teaching degree, has graduated, and will be getting her own classroom.
Wow.
Which increases her pay, so she will be able to financially care for she and her son.
Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you.
Yep.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care, and you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, if you know anything about what goes on here at Substation 2, it involves fresh subs and salads, and we do them 6 days a week. How we do them is in the white letters, and at the count of three, we're all going to chant it out together. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Well done. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
What's hot at Substation 2? The new hot beef brisket sandwich. Brisket is smoked tender beef sliced to order, served hot and delicious, and gardened your way. This is a limited time offer, so titillate your taste buds today with a hot beef brisket sandwich at Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
When it comes to matters of the heart, you want someone who understands you. And that's our mission at Piedmont's Heart and Vascular Center. We are the only cardiovascular hospital in York County providing comprehensive care from diagnosis to recovery. Our team includes experienced cardiologists, cardiovascular surgeons, and nurses, all dedicated to keeping your heart healthy. Cardiac care with advanced technology close to home. That's Piedmont Medical Center. Learn more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Love our subs? Want to find the fastest way to get here? Just say, "Hey Siri, take me to Substation 2 in Rock Hill."
Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill. And it gets 4 stars on Yelp.
Even faster, order online at mysubstationii.com. Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Helen Zimmerman and Kristen Teffo from the United Way of York County are with us today. We talked about everything they do day in and day out, but they got something special coming up, and we usually have the United Way and good old Randy Hayes from the post office, but he retired, so we don't know where the heck he is. It's called Stamping Out Hunger, and everybody who's got a mailbox can help out, because this is about the simplest thing in the world to do and creates an awful lot of food for an awful lot of needy people during these summer months when things go caca in terms of normal donations. So who wants to take this on? Kristen, you're over here. You don't want to take it on. Okay. She didn't even want to talk, but she did pretty well.
She did great.
She did great. All right, Helen, tell us about this thing.
So Stamp Out Hunger is Saturday. So it's always the second Saturday in May. So it's Saturday, May 10th this year. And as Randy, I think, keep thinking my imaginary friend Randy is here. As Manning actually said, it is the easiest thing you can do. Put your canned goods, your non-perishable goods out at your mailbox this Saturday, and your postal carrier will pick it up, bring it back to the post office, where we will be there with volunteers and the food pantries in our community. We will sort it, we will divide it up, and it will go right on the shelves here in our community to take care of those that need the food.
So what pantries are going to benefit by this year?
So this year we've got Hope of Rock Hill,
yep,
Salvation Army, Pilgrims Inn, Love and Cherish, and Fort Mill Care Center. They will all benefit and be recipients of it. If our friends in Clover and York, I will always say it wrong.
Clover Area Assistance Center
will get those there as well.
So this really is so simple, it almost defies what we have to take down to explain it. We don't want perishable things. We don't want you to get a slab of meat or, right.
They're non-perishables. Yeah. Canned goods, non-perishables.
Canned goods only.
It can be the non-perishables. They suggest, dry milk, cereal bars, macaroni and cheese. There are so many things that are needed right now because this time of the year, as you alluded to, is kind of a food desert.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks, the big food drives are surrounding the holidays. But right now, as kids get out of school and the families are home because a lot of the kids don't go to camps, these are the families and the kids that often get served their meals at school. There's got to be a plan and a way to take care of them and provide for them this summer.
And I can tell you there's plenty of need for food. I mean, it's amazing to see the lines of people who are picking up food over Hope. Or if you go down to Manor House there at Pathways on the weekend, they have over 500 cars of people coming through every Saturday morning to pick up food.
It's a need in the community, and we know the population we serve is the population that benefits from this. I pulled our 211 numbers before I left, and when I look at our report of calls that came into the 211 network for last year, our calls specifically related to food increased by 35% last year. So we know it's a need here in York County.
Should be no surprise when you take a look at the price of groceries these days.
Well, we talked earlier about the survival budget for the families here. So that same family of four, the survival budget for the food line is $1,200 a month to feed that family of four.
$1,200 per month for a family of four. Jeez, wowee.
Mm-hmm. And as Kristen educated me on, that is the survival budget, and it's based on the thrifty spending plan. So that is, in essence, if you talk to people in the grocery industry, your fresh fruits and your fresh foods and your healthy foods on the exterior, thrifty spending is the box goods, it's the canned goods. It's
the things that are more affordable.
More affordable and that you need on a daily basis to keep going.
Say that again, Kristen, because we didn't hear you.
It's the more affordable food products, so it's not necessarily you're going out to get a steak, you're going out a large pack of six chicken breasts. It's or any fresh
spaghetti.
Fruits and vegetables. It's spaghetti. Yeah. It's without, mac and cheese. It's
spaghetti without the meatballs.
So your food budget line is often your second highest in your monthly budget, and it's the first one to get cut because it's what you think you can give up easiest.
Now, I remember from previous conversations with Randy Hayes that the pounds per year on these drives kind of dropped off when COVID came about.
It did. We pulled and looked at the numbers. So coming out of COVID that first year, we did just over 8,000. Took a dip last year, but we doubled last year, so we're back up to that 8,000 in 24. So we hope to continue that trend and keep doubling it. It would be great to get back up to that 20 we had pre-COVID.
Had 20,000 pounds.
Had 20,000 pounds pre-COVID, and we're just at about 8,000. And all it takes is for an additional couple people in your neighborhood. So if you got the flyer in your mailbox because they went out, but make sure your neighbor did too. And the way it works is somebody sees their neighbor put their canned goods out. It reminds them to put theirs out. You can also take them to the post office. They've got collection boxes at some of the post offices.
Right.
Because this is a great partnership with the Postal Service.
Now, is this done across the country or is it just here?
It is. It's done across the country. We're in the 33rd year of doing this. And we looked at the numbers totally. So nationwide, 36 million pounds was collected last year.
36 million pounds.
And over the years of the entire program, 1.9 billion.
1.9 billion.
Everything that we collect here in York County rolls into those numbers. But it shows good work's being done, and we can increase our efforts here.
Whee! My.
Yep, those are huge numbers. Impact those in need everywhere.
So 1.9 billion pounds.
And that's over the 33 years of the program.
I don't know who came up with this idea, but it's a good one. It really is a good one because it's so simple.
It is.
It is so simple.
And it gets right to those individuals that need it because it all goes into local pantries, stays right where it's donated. So it could go to the person who, you know, takes care of you at your restaurant or your doctor's office, your children's child care assistant, could be your neighbor, could be anybody you know, but it stays right here in our own community.
Yeah, it doesn't go out of your
right.
county, bottom line.
Right.
You know, it's interesting when you take when you talk to people, for instance, who are running the Havens Men's Shelter or a Lifehouse for Women. I mean, there are professional people living there because they can't afford a house.
Yeah.
They can't afford the apartment rent of $1,500. They can't afford it. So even though they're getting paid a decent salary, it's not enough, like she pointed out, with these numbers. So they something like this, if you can help out with the food, that gives them money to do other stuff.
Yep, it makes a difference. And we're seeing, as you said, people that are in this situation for the first time in their lives, and it's really hard to ask for help. And it's harder to ask for help if you think there's going to be a no answer and the shelves will be empty. So it's a great time to really help make sure that everything in our community lifts up a little bit. And it's really easy to get some canned goods and put them out at your mailbox.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we mean put them out of the mailbox. You just take them in that, put them in that plastic bag, hang it over the mailbox, and it'll disappear because the postal carrier is going to pick it up and take it back.
Yep. It's as simple as that.
So where do they take everything? There's one location where they take all these canned goods?
So the drivers bring them back to where they have their trucks.
Okay.
So we are at different post offices throughout the community.
Okay.
Unloaded onto the loading dock at the postal office. We sort them. The food pantries meet us there and immediately load their truck as it comes off the Postal Service trucks. So it is
so the media
off and on and immediate. Yep. Yep. It's a simple, simple process that really impacts a lot of lives.
And I guess the trick is to get the word out to people. I mean,
that's it. That's all it is. I mean, if people know it, it's so easy to do it. And
it's so distracted these days. It's
share
amazing.
The message.
And I'm sure you've used every possible way to get this thing out.
Yep. Yep. It's on social media. It's posters. It's flyers.
So
Postal Service put flyers in mailboxes.
Yeah.
So check your mailboxes. We know not everybody checks their mailbox daily, but we want you to because good things like this happen.
Right. Well, I would think we should be able to do at least 8,000 pounds. I mean, it sounds like a lot. And it is a lot.
It
but
is.
But when you think we got 300,000 people.
That is correct.
In the community, that breaks down to, what, a quarter of a pound per person?
Yep.
I mean, less than that. What am I talking about? I'm thinking about something else. But regardless, pick up whatever you want to pick up. And you know how to shop, right?
Yep.
What would you want to have for your son or your daughter or somebody you know down in the neighborhood? What would they like to have if they fell into a a problem like this? Now, I remember also that Randy saying in years past that if for some reason you can't get it out there on Saturday and you're going to go to the grocery store Saturday but you're not going until late, you can hang it out there on Monday. You don't want to do that?
We've had food come in throughout the week because sometimes that's exactly what happens. Somebody can't do it or there's a carrier that doesn't have the capacity to pick it up, but they'll get it that next day. So we do take some. And you can also take it to the postal office if you can't
sure.
have it at your mailbox on Monday.
Okay.
Take it in. They'll make sure it gets in the hands of those who need it.
Helen Zimmerman, thank you very much. Kristen Tepo, thank you very much. Keep up the good work at the United Way of York County, and that's going to wrap up our program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Green's Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. Okay, now speaking of food, fresh subs and salads is what we do here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Mr. Ron Russell knows all about that. He's over here munching on a salad, but he's going to take a break and help us tell everybody what they should know about this place. How we do what we do at the count of three. Are we ready, everybody? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.